the fat Albert niggas. Spot running 86 crack rounds and pitches. Looking all suspicious, I'm out.
Hey, yo, hold up. What the fuck you stop for?
I got something in my thigh.
You can't be stopping. See, what the fuck you ain't got? Hey, yo, you bugging this shit, son. You gotta have me the fuck up. Time is running, nigga. Come on. What the fuck?
I work magic at a liquor store. Give me a dollar and I turn that bitch into five. And all I need is one more to get things started. Get retarded. I want you. I'ma fix these artists. Take it one by one. Tie them up. Line them up. Treat them like a cigar. Fire them niggas up. Cut me up in the club. 6 feet 3 up. With them young cats with their gear all beat up. This is how I'ma kill them with 4 lines left. Hold your breath. Say my name 5 times. It takes practice, yo. Be careful when saying my name. It's like matches, yo. Inside to fuck up on the count in the house of blow.
Nah. Fuck that 4 line shit. You cheating this shit. I ain't come here for all that. I'm tired though, Lord. What the fuck? What you mean you tired of this shit, G? You're supposed to be that nigga, then show me. If you that nigga, then show me.
I hold my mic like a Gil says. Hopping over chairs like OJ. My rushing yards depend how the meter spray. Happy white beat today. Don't touch my Chiba, hey. Get off my D.I. Then go see the case. Excuse me, Mr. DJ. Please play. Fish on that Shay Shay Live. Me 10-4. Mayday. Calling all bars. Calling all bars. We have an APB on stars and drive the guard. We left the jewelry store feeling like we left the morgue. We was frozen and I brought an iced out Trojan. That's what pussies who's golden. I put my ring up to my man's waves and seen the ocean. Move like a wolf dipped in sheep's clothing. Snatch the money back off the milk truck. It kept boating. I be potent like I be profing. I be coasting with 2 shotties on me and your grimiest. Now I be smoking.
Motherfucker, 8 o'clock. Mother, where the fuck? Yo, you be cheating, mother. You be cheating. That's that stat now and bullshit. Theodore, you know what? You might be a ghost, but you ain't Houdini, motherfucker.
You're the devil in me. killing of another unarmed black man raises further questions about NYPD tactics. On Thursday, an undercover police officer shot and killed Patrick Dorsman. Especially after four NYPD officers were acquitted last month in the shooting of unarmed African immigrant Amadou Diallo.
That song is pretty brutal. That was Tigre doing Bang Bang about the police shootings in New York City, starting with the shooting of Amadou Diallo, who was shot 41 times by undercover police officers who didn't even identify themselves. They thought he had a gun, and it was a wallet. And, but yeah, that song, man, just that end part where they're just counting off the number of shots and you can just see how. But, yeah, that leads into, I want to talk about Jake Faust? I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. And since my name is Jake, I'm going to call him Jacob, which apparently he's also called, just to avoid the confusion. Jacob Faust lived in San Diego, was shot and killed by San Diego police officers on April 4th of this year down in the Gaslamp District. Musician, artist, filmmaker, and swing dancer. Condolences to the family. I've had a death in the family in the past year or so, and there's nothing one can say that makes that any better. All I can think of is that when my mom passed away, about the only thing that really did, make things better, more cheerful, something, was when just sort of taking some pride and some enjoyment in the way that seeing how that loved one of yours had impacted the people's lives, how much love there was, how much that person really cared, and other people cared about this person in your life, but. I was contacted by John Faust, the uncle of Jacob, and he was asking if I would talk about this incident, this tragedy, this, don't know what to call it, not a good name for any of it. I'll get to that in a second, though. It was, one thing that got to me is looking over some of the stuff that people had written about this shooting. Well, and by the way, again, this fellow was unarmed as well. Jacob Faust, no gun, no nothing. Cop shot him. But they say there was a toy gun. There was a prop gun in the guy's car. But a lot of people have been saying, you know, that, you know, oh, the cops, you know, these are the guys that are supposed to protect us, and look, they're shooting innocent people, and they do that a lot. It's, I don't know, I mean, there's a lot of conceptions of what the police are. To some people, the police are these, you know, defenders of our rights, defenders, you know, they keep us safe from bad people and all that, but, you know, cops, they fit into a lot of categories. Other people would tell you that they're just about protecting the wealthy, protecting the status quo. But on top of that, they're also people, which means that things are complicated. And I'm sure that... pardon me while I adjust the microphone. I need to turn this microphone up. But, you know, it's, they arrest the, you know, some of the gangsters and rapists, keep us safe somewhat, and then you also harass, you know, the homeless, the poor, homosexuals, teachers, anyone whose skin is darker than, you know, a sugar cookie, they enforce some laws, turn a blind eye to other laws, break the law themselves, and of course, if you're rich, they probably won't bother to enforce any laws on you, but, you know, you get as much variation, I imagine, among police as you would in other groups, other occupations. But maybe not. You know, you got to choose to be a police officer. And, you know, you got to wonder who is the sort of person that would become a police officer. One of the strange, you know, you do see, though, within cops, certain attitudes. You see this, this siege mentality, this belief that at all times they are on the verge of being attacked, killed, assaulted, whatever, and they react accordingly. That which, you know, if you believe that you're in danger at all times, you know, one of your first actions is to try to protect yourself, which in their case often means whipping out the pistol. They hate it when you challenge their authority. They really, really hate that. And they often care more for keeping the status quo than they do for actually enforcing the law. I've on many occasions seen police break the law in the name of public order, etc. You know, I have all this stuff written out here, but I don't think a lot of it doesn't need to be said. I'm going to play here for you a bit of a radio program, a weekly radio show called Bad Cop No Donut. Sort of a flip name, but it is about police. It's sort of a wrap-up, a blotter, if you will, of crimes, abuse, brutality committed by police officers in North America. I'll play a little bit of that, and you can get a taste for this idea. Because, you know, so, again, some people think the cops are there to protect us. Some people think the cops are good, noble, heroic people. They often aren't. And let us just play this bit of this show, and we'll get a taste of that.
This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of May 5th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad cop.
Not donut!
Bad, 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 bad.
Cop, 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 cop.
No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
It's under law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Stay tuned after this week's headlines for an interview with Christina Agola, a lawyer in New York who is representing two women who were violated by police in East Rochester, New York, and who are now suing the police and the city. But first, let's have a look at what the police did to us this week. A police officer in Birmingham, Alabama, was sentenced to 22 years in prison this week for forcing a 12-year-old boy to have sex with him. An Associated Press account says that Officer Todd Easterwood was found guilty in February of first-degree sodomy. The sexual abuse of the boy was alleged to have taken place over a 3-year period. Easterwood plans to appeal his conviction. A police officer in Hilltown, Pennsylvania, has been arrested for repeatedly raping a boy over a 6-year period, starting when his victim was only 11 years old. A report from the Bucks County Courier-Times says that Officer James Glenn Kane allegedly admitted to raping the boy hundreds of times, often while he was in uniform. Police reports say the crimes were committed between 1996 and 2003, mostly at the officer's home. Kane has been charged with rape of a child, involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, aggravated indecent assault, corruption of minors, endangering the welfare of children, and possession of child pornography. He is being held on $1 million bail.
This guy has stolen my trust. He has stolen my son's innocence. He had taken things from my child that I took for granted.
I'd like to apologize to the victims in this case and their families.
When my child should have been worried about playing with cars and video games, he was telling me about sexual activity he had already participated in.
A community safety officer in Columbia, South Carolina, was sentenced last week to 23 years in prison for sexually assaulting six elementary school students. According to a report in The State, Officer Donald Porter pleaded guilty to victimizing boys aged 7 to 12 at two elementary schools between December 2003 and April 2004. Some of the boys were assaulted in school bathrooms, and others were assaulted in classrooms when teachers were not looking. Porter allegedly used candy, money, and after-school trips to earn the trust of his victims. Columbia police fired the officer after the allegations came to light. Under state law, Porter could be released from prison in 18 years, but could also be held indefinitely for treatment after serving his sentence. A former sheriff's deputy in Hanover County, Virginia, who was also an ordained minister, pleaded guilty last week to sexually abusing three young girls. According to the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Gary Reinholtz pleaded guilty to felony aggravated sexual battery and misdemeanor sexual battery involving two girls aged 11 and 13. At a separate hearing last week, he...
I'm going to go ahead and turn that down. That is a weekly radio show. We only listened to about 5 minutes of that show, and you heard the sort of horrific crimes being committed by police officers. That's a weekly show that's about 30 minutes every week. Every week that guy puts that together. And I think that this particular show was a little heavy on the child rape. I don't remember hearing as much of that in past editions of Bad Cop No Donut. But... yeah, I mean, that's something that we should be knowing. You know, a lot of people just, you know, they're just this knee-jerk acceptance of the police, this belief that they're doing the good work or fighting the good fight, but no, that should give you a good glimpse. Many cops not doing good work. They're hurting people. Which, you know, we'll talk about this case in some detail now, the Jacob Faust case. The biggest problem with this situation is that there's very little information. I'll tell you, this is what I know for sure about this case. This is what seems consistent among the various reports. It's April 4th. 1:45 in the morning, Jacob Faust is driving in the Gaslamp District, makes an illegal U-turn, is pulled over by a cop. Cop gives him a ticket. Then there's a second cop. I don't entirely know how the second cop fits in, when they showed up, if they were always there. Then what happens next is a little bit blurry. There's some varying accounts. After that, we do know that cop number two sprays Jacob Faust with pepper spray, and then cop number two shoots him three times and kills him. I take that back. Shoots him three times. He's taken to the hospital where he dies a half hour later. Now, the blurriness in here, you know, I believe the only... There's as far as anyone knows, there were no eyewitnesses to this shooting except the police officers themselves. And obviously, we can't necessarily trust what they have to say. You know, maybe they're 100% telling the truth of the story. Maybe they're not. Obviously, if things did not happen the way that they are saying they happened, they've got good cause to try to make something up to make themselves look good or less bad. Now, the story that came out in the media that fills in the gaps, their version is Faust is pulled over. Cop number two walks by and sees what looks like a gun in the pocket behind the seat of the passenger chair, front seat passenger chair in the car. Cop number two goes up to cop number one, warns him. They tell Faust to get out of the car. Now, again, this is another confusing bit. The police say that he had suspend the driver's license. I read a news article where Jacob's father said that was actually a mistake. He was trying to clear up with the DMV that there had been no reason to suspend his license. But they tell him to get out of the car. He says no. He refuses to get out of the car. Again, this is the mass media. This is the San Diego Union Tribune. This is their version of events. And I believe they were told this version of events from the captain of the San Diego Police Department and possibly from the homicide detectives who were then investigating the shooting. They say that he refused to get out of the car. There was a struggle. Faust was pepper sprayed. Then the super murky part of the story. Some versions say he reached in, got his toy gun, and aimed it at the officers. Some versions say he reached his hand in some direction, one of the officers thought he might be going for a gun or that gun. What really confuses the hell out of me with this story is apparently the detectives say that it was too dark to see anything in the car. Which would mean, one, that none of these cops would be able to see him reaching for the toy gun in the first place, and two, would mean that cop number two walking by would not see a toy gun to tell cop number one, hey, look out, he's got a gun in the car. So, I have no idea. This is very confusing, and again, this is the only sources of information we have are these two police officers, unless, if there is an eyewitness, you know, it seems it's unlikely, but if you're listening to the show right now and you happen to have been there, if you happen to have seen this, or know somebody who was an eyewitness, get in touch with me. I will get you in touch with the family. I'm sure they would like to hear that version of events. Email me, jake@killradio.org is my email address, or jake@lyingmediabastards.com is my own website. So what it comes down to is that... this fellow was pepper sprayed and shot to death because he made an illegal U-turn and possibly refused to get out of his car when the cops told him to. Obviously, that seems to say that was unjustified is a vast understatement. Now, the media, again, the media, their version, the way they covered the story seems to be we took the police story as truth. Then we went ahead and got commentary, got a few sound bites from the family, and that was it. I mean, that's typically the journalism way. It's a formula. You talk to one side, talk to the other side, throw it all down on a piece of paper, and no bother trying to find out what actually happened. In this case, I can't really accept that the journalist would put so much validity on what the police officer said, but I can understand not being able to come to the truth. As I said, there's not much in the way of, not much of a way to get to the truth here, unless you're going to somehow interrogate these police officers. And then, according to Jacob's uncle, John, he emailed me and said that there had been a press conference that same day after the shooting, and that part of it had been what he calls a gun lineup. They apparently showed a whole bunch of guns attached to a board, or a photograph of these guns attached to a board, showing how similar they looked to, how similar toy guns looked to real guns, which I could understand slightly. You know, in the long run, I could see, you know, you're a cop, you want to say, hey, this is a hard job because sometimes somebody's got a toy gun and you can't tell, real, fake, whatever. But, dude, they just shot this guy. They shot and killed an innocent guy. And they're having a press conference where they're saying there's a terrible tragedy, but hey, look, this is really hard, and you can't tell these apart, can you? We're innocent. And that's tactless and sad. And I think the reason they did that was just within the previous week, police had also shot and killed another man. The official story with that was that he'd had a gun and aimed it at them, an actual gun, not a toy gun. Again, about the only I think the only witnesses are the that were close up anyway, were the police officers themselves, and there was a child in the car. But I think the cops were freaking out, you know, two deadly shootings by them within a week. So they were looking to try to, you know, spin themselves out of this. And while we're at it, just to mention, in Los Angeles this week, the crazy police shooting. Cops are after a guy in a white SUV. They think they found the guy. Turns out to not be the guy they're looking for, but the you know, high-speed chase, well, medium-speed chase through the streets of Los Angeles. The guy finally stops. The police shoot his car 120 times. Originally, I'd heard 90. Now the number is up to 120. One of the officers was injured when one of the other guys accidentally, one of the cops accidentally shot one of his fellow cops. Turns out the guy was unarmed, had no gun, was the wrong guy, though it does sound like he did have a drug record. But I just think that cops always feel threatened. Well, frequently feel threatened. They've been trained to, you know, always be on pins and needles, always be, you know, I could be attacked at any time. So they don't need much provocation to resort to force when they, to allegedly protect themselves. And, but yeah, in this case, we don't know. I know that Jacob Faust's family is trying to find out what happened, try to get to the bottom of this, and they might be taking further action to try to get some police reform into San Diego. That would be a good thing. If you want more information about this case, there is a website, jacobfaust.com, which doesn't have a ton of information on it right now. It's mainly about the fella himself. And just a sort of a summary of the facts about his killing. There's an art site. He was an artist, Albino Fawn, F-A-W-N, that sort of fawn. Is there another kind of fawn? I don't know what I'm talking about. AlbinoFawn.com is a site that has information about him, his art. And Jacob was also a swing dancer. And I go to the site jivejunction.com. Apparently that was sort of a website for local swing dancers. It's pretty touching. There's a lot of testimonies and a lot of remembrances of about the fella. And from his friends, acquaintances, loved ones. And Jake was also a filmmaker. May 20th, the California Institute of the Arts in Valencia, also known as CalArts to us L.A. folks, they're going to be screening his movie, which I believe is also called Faustus? Faust? I'm screwing it up. His movie is going to be May 20th at CalArts. And then also it's said that they will be playing at the Ken Theater here in San Diego at some time in the near future. But if you go to jacobfaust.com, we've got the family has where'd it go? What's the title? Yeah, I can't find the title. Jacob Faust Memorial Fund, also called the Justice for Jake Fund. You can donate money to this this fund that will be used to for legal support to try to take the cops to task, find out what really happened. And so if you're interested in that, go ahead and go to jacobfaust.com and you can donate right there. Hope I've done right by the family. That was unusual situation for me. I cover all sorts of news stories, read all sorts of stuff, but it's pretty rare that it's someone involved and there's such such tragedy and grief involved with it asked me to do something about it. So did my best, folks. But let's see, what is a good song to play to follow that up? I've got nothing. There's going to be nothing that's going to follow that up well. Shoot. Let's say, let me scroll through my songs. No, nothing's gonna do this. Let's do, Deer Dance, System of a Down. Oh, wait, we've got, okay, we'll do this right. Okay, I've got online here, I've got a friend to Jacob's who says he likes Tom Waits. Oh man, do I got Tom Waits. Let's see, let me type him real quick. Any particular song? I got an idea. If we'll go for one of Tom Waits' best. Okay, I know what we're doing. We're going with One of the best Tom Waits songs. We're going with Jockey Full of Bourbon. Thank you all for listening. Long Media Bastards radio show. If we get any updates about the Jacob Faust case, we will be sure to tell you about it here on the show. But, yeah, like I said, more information, go to jacobfaust.com. And now I'll play Tom Waits, Jockey Full of Bourbon. He was a fan.
To peace, war staring you in the face. the helmet fears, trained and appropriate for the malcontents, for the disproportion malcontents. A little boy smiled, it'll all be well, and say a little boy smiled, it'll all be well. Pushing little children with their fully automatics, they like to push the weak around.
guitar. $90,000 in it. Yeah.
You're so freaky. You're so freaky.
If you die!